I want to invite you to take your Bible now as we're going to take time now to study God's Word as we do every Sunday morning. Our motto at Crossroads is learning the Bible, living the Bible. So we want you to learn today something. We want you to go home learning something from the Bible so that it'll change your life. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to grab one under your chair or a chair close to you. You'll see some Bibles under there, and it's Church Bible page number 1055. That'll take you to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1. There should be Bibles, like I said, under the chairs there, so you can feel free to grab one of those. But you'll notice that in your handout that the theme today, and you can see it up here on the screen, is that we want to talk about gaining freedom from the frustration of unanswered prayer. I want you guys to be brutally honest with me right now, okay? How many of you guys have ever prayed and felt like, man, God didn't answer my prayer? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. I think we've all been there. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that we have, but sometimes it's like, you know, it's frustrating. And sometimes the problem really is an unanswered prayer. It's unasked prayer. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. We just don't pray. And I think the reason why we don't pray more is we get discouraged, because prayer is not something that you always see immediate, boom, just immediate results. Yeah, I prayed it, boom, there's the answer. And we struggle with things like that because we want everything right now. That's our society. That's our culture, you know. We want everything right now. We want it quick. That's why you go in the grocery store and they got instant this and instant that, right? That's why we love microwaves, amen? We don't want to wait. We want it right now. So when we pray, sometimes we get frustrated because we feel like we don't see immediate results from it. It's kind of like exercising or getting healthy, you know. It's like, you know, you make this commitment. All right, I'm going to get healthier, and I am gonna start exercising. So you go out and you buy a treadmill, you know. It's like you get a treadmill, and you're not. They tell you, you know, you're not buying a treadmill. You're investing in a treadmill, right? And so you go and you invest in a treadmill. You say, I'm going to make better choices about what I eat. I'm going to take vitamins. And you do all that for a whole day. And you wake up the next morning and you say, I don't feel any better. In fact, I feel worse. Man, I'm sore all over. I can't even hardly get out of bed. And then you look in the mirror and you say, man, I sure don't look any better. And so you say, man, forget this. This doesn't work. This exercise stuff, it doesn't work. This getting healthy. So you take the vitamins and you chuck them in the trash can. You put the treadmill on Craigslist, right? And then you go raid the refrigerator or the McDonald's drive-thru, amen, right? This stuff doesn't work. And in the same way, we want immediate results in prayer. And it's like exercising and getting healthy. You know, you don't always going to just see immediate results. Satan wants to get you discouraged with prayer. But yet, prayer is like a Christian's lifeline. It's our oxygen. I want you to picture that this is underwater right here, okay? And there's a boat up there on the top of that ledge. And there's this hose that's going from this contraption around you underwater. And this hose is going from you underwater, and it's going all the way up here to the ship. Can somebody tell me, what is that feeding you down there? Oxygen, right, air. And so you're getting this oxygen. Well, in the same way, we're down here on the earth where things are bad. I mean, the Bible says it's Satan's world system right now that's in place on this earth. It's an evil world. And so we're down here, and the air is really foul. The air is corrupt so many times. And so literally, your oxygen, you're the only way you have to tap into the pure air of heaven and God is prayer. That's the only way you can tap into it. The only way you're going to be able to get oxygen from heaven, to get that pure air from God, is through prayer. That's how we tap into that. It's our lifeline. And for a Christian, prayer ought to be as natural as breathing is to a human body. There's just no substitute for prayer. I'm telling you, I can't give you a substitute. There's nothing that I can give you that will be a substitute for you praying every day. God works on the earth. God works in your life. God works in your family, in your home, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your church, in answer to prayer. There's a verse I want you to look at in your handout. It's at the very top. Look at that verse, Hebrews 11:6. Look at that. Everybody see that? But without faith, it is. And notice how emphatic that word is. He says, without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a, look at this, God is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek him. That's prayer. But what about when we pray, and what about when we seek God, and nothing seems to happen? I mean, you don't just pray for a day, like we talked about. No, I mean, you pray for a whole week. You pray for a whole month. You pray for a whole year. You pray for several years. And nothing happens. What about that? Well, this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to examine a story in the Bible about a married couple named Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were going to eventually give birth to a baby, and this baby's name would be John. We know him as John the Baptist. He would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. In fact, Jesus said he's one of the greatest men that ever lived. There's no better than him. I mean, Jesus gave John the highest commendation. These people were his parents, and I want to read about it. Look at verse number 5, and let's look at it. Luke 1, verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. All right? They're related. Look at verse 6. Notice the character of these people. It says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, that does not mean they were sinless. They made mistakes. They sinned just like all the rest of us. But as far as outwardly what you could see, they were blameless. There was nothing in their life you could point at as a reproach. They were really godly people. Look at verse 7. It says, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And it says they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, let me explain that real quick. I know this is tough to understand. Even though we're technically in the New Testament, because that's the way they break down your Bible, we're really in the Old Testament. This is still before the cross. They're still operating and functioning under the Old Testament economy. So that's why you got a temple. That's why you got priests. That's why you've got them making sacrifices. Jesus had not died on the cross yet. All right? So they're still functioning in that Old Testament economy. Zacharias is a priest that would go to the temple, and he would serve every year when it was his turn. All right, let's go to verse 9. It says, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. That was his job when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. Notice this. He said, thy prayer is heard. Your prayer has been heard. And he says, your wife Elizabeth's going to bear you a son, and you shall call his name what, church? John. Now, we're going to take this story, and we're going to pull out some stuff here that's going to really help us today. Why do our prayers seem unanswered? Very frustrating, very discouraging when our prayers seem to go unanswered. Why do they seem to go unanswered? I'm going to pull out three things really quickly. Number one is this. Get this. This is so important. Number one, first of all, your prayer may seem unanswered because your request has been denied. It's just simply been denied. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let me explain it, and I think we'll all get it here, all right? When you get saved and you trust Christ, when you become a Christian, some of you have never made that decision to truly become a Christian. You say, well, my parents baptized me when I was a baby. That doesn't make you a Christian. You say, well, I was raised in a Christian home. That doesn't make you a Christian. The only way you become a Christian is you have to personally open up your heart to Jesus Christ. You have to put your faith, you have to put your trust in him. Mommy and daddy can't do that for you. Grandma and grandpa can't do that for you. You have to become a Christian of your own choice and will. Once you become a Christian and you trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Bible teaches that God becomes your heavenly Father. You now have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He becomes your Father. The Bible says in Galatians 4:6 that when you become a Christian, God sends his Spirit into your heart. And now you have a basis of a relationship with God because he lives inside of you. So the Bible teaches that he is now your Father. And the Bible also teaches that as his child, you can and you should make requests of your father. So you can go to him and ask him for whatever you want. Look with me in your handout at a great verse, Philippians 4:6. Again, go back to your handout. It says, be careful. That word careful means anxious or worried, stressed out. Don't be stressed out. But he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your, everybody say real loud, what's the next word? Request be made known unto who? God. Can I take my request to God? Yes or no? Yes. The Bible clearly teaches, no doubt about it, that we have every right to take our request to God. Now, question. Let's just apply this now. Parents, those of you who have kids, do you give your children everything they ask for? I hope nobody raises their hand to that. We don't want to be around your kid, all right, if you do. But no, you don't give your child everything they ask for. There are times, hey, look, I'm a grandpa. Let me tell you something, I'm loving it too. And I got a grandson, and I tell you what, I don't give him everything he wants, but man, I sure try. Spoil him and give him back to mom and dad, right? But even me as a grandpa, I can't give my grandson everything he wants because I'd get in so much trouble with my son and my daughter-in-law because if I gave him everything he wanted, my little two-year-old, he'd want chocolate-covered donuts for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's all he'd want, chocolate-covered donuts. So there are times as parents that we do have to say no to our children. Why? Because we're wiser, we're older, we can understand things at a deeper level than our kids can. And our kids say, but dad, but mom. And then we say, trust me, I know what's best for you in this situation. Well, in the exact same way, in your handout it says, look at the statement, go ahead and bring it up on the screen. It says, our Heavenly Father sometimes simply has to deny some of our requests. He's our Father. In our text, this couple has been praying for years for a child. And now the Bible says they're well stricken in years. So for years, they were like, okay, God, we're ready. God, it's time. Give us a child. We want a child. God, we're ready. God, we believe it's time. Nothing happens. Their prayers seem unanswered. Their prayers were denied. Notice that Elizabeth is barren, the Bible says. But I want to emphasize something. It was not because of some sin in their life. We read it. They were godly people that loved the Lord with all their heart. They were good people. Sometimes when our prayers aren't answered, we start thinking, well, God must be mad at me. There must be something wrong with me. There must be some sin in my life that's preventing the answer to my prayer. Don't always jump to that conclusion because that's not the case with these people. They by the way, they did not allow their unanswered prayer to make them get bitter and make them get angry at God or cause them to quit serving God. I mean, we read in good old Zacharias, man, they had prayed, hadn't got the answer, but he's just faithful, man. He's just continuing to serve God. He's continuing to love God. And, you know, he's not getting mad at God. He's not throwing a tantrum because he doesn't get what he wants. He stayed faithful. And, you know, certainly the other side of that coin is that I'm going to admit that there are times when our prayers can be hindered by our own attitudes and our own actions. I'll give you an example. Sometimes we may ask for something from our Heavenly Father that's just clearly out of His will because we haven't studied His Word. We really haven't put the time in to study out what the Bible says. So sometimes we ask and we pray for things in ignorance, and thankfully He doesn't give us everything we ask for. I mean, I look back at when I was a younger Christian, and I look back at some of the things I asked God for before I really knew His Word, and I'm like, oh, thankful. I'm so thankful He did not give me everything that I asked for because it probably would have destroyed my life if He'd have given me those things. So as a loving Father, He doesn't give us those things. Sometimes we pray selfishly. We don't even think about other people around us and how that would affect others. And so the Bible says sometimes, James says, you pray and you ask for things just to consume it on your own lust. It's just, you know, you're not even thinking about other people and how it affects them. So when prayer seems unanswered, church, we need to do a checkup. You say, what do you mean? Look down at his word. Make sure that you're praying in accordance with his word. Look in at your own heart. Make sure it's in the right place. And then look up to God in faith. Trust that your heavenly Father knows what you need and he knows what's best. It isn't that God doesn't answer prayer. It's that sometimes he simply answers no. It's not the answer we want. It's not the answer we're looking for. But sometimes God has to say no. And in your handout is a great statement. Look at it in your handout. It says, if God withholds something from us, rest assured it was not good for us. He did it out of love, just like we do with our kids, right? He did it out of love. And so sometimes when we pray, it's not that God doesn't answer. Oh, God answers all prayer. It's that sometimes he answers no. He has to deny the request because God's God. He's our Father. He knows. But there's a second reason why sometimes our prayer seems unanswered. Number two in your handout. Sometimes it's because the answer to our request has been not denied, it's been delayed. It's been delayed. Wait on the Lord. We sung that earlier. You know, I'll give you an illustration. This is one I can relate to. I raised three boys. Your son comes to you. And he says, Dad, can I use the car tonight? And then you say to him, no, absolutely not. And he says, but Dad, why not? I need it. And you say, well, first of all, number one, you're only 13 years old. You know? And then that same son comes to you 3 or 4 years later, and he's 16 or 17, and he says, hey, Dad, can I use the car tonight? And what do you say this time? Yeah. You still say no. I'm just kidding. You probably say yes, you know. And why? It wasn't that his answer, it wasn't that his request was denied. It was delayed. He wasn't ready for it yet. And sometimes when we pray and we make requests of God, sometimes it's not that it's denied. The reality is it may just be delayed. Our text here is a great illustration of this. Look at verse number 13. Look at that. It says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And he says, you're going to call his name John. So when we read this, it appears that this couple had been praying a long time for a child. Their prayers seem unanswered. It seemed like their prayers, you know, were not going to be answered. So it appears from Zechariah's response to the angel, which is a little bit humorous, it appears that they had quit praying. It just kind of was off the radar. They weren't even thinking about it anymore. In fact, look at how he responds to the angel. Look at verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years. Can you imagine? An angel appears to the guy, says, you're going to have a son. And he basically says to an angel of God, hey, how can I know you're on the level? How can I know you're real, man? I want to know. How can I know? Give me a sign that you're on the level, you know? And so it wasn't even on the radar at this point. He just figured they were too old. Little did they know, all those years they were praying earlier, God had heard their prayers, he saw their faithfulness, and one day God was going to answer their prayer. But they had to wait because of this reason. Such an incredible statement I have put in your handout. If you could just understand this, it'll help you so much in your prayer life. Get this statement, it's in your handout. With God, timing is far more important than time. We get in a hurry, don't we? We want it now. God knows the right timing. And with God, timing's more important than time. You see, God doesn't live by a clock. God doesn't get in a hurry like we do. You never see God running around, stressed out, running late. We do. Anybody in here running around, stressed out, late today? Got some liars in here. I saw a lot of people come in late. But But yeah, sometimes we simply have to wait for God to give what he's already granted. He granted it, you just got to wait. Why did Zacharias have to wait, though? You say, why did God make him wait? Well, there's a verse in Isaiah 30, and I'm going to be right up front with you, because at our church, we really believe in taking the Bible in context. That's why I told you about the Old Testament, how the Old Testament law. And I'm just going to tell you flat out, the verse in Isaiah 30 that I'm going to give you was written to Israel prophetically. It's a prophetic verse written to the nation of Israel. But within the verse, we'll get a great insight into the character and into the heart of God. All right, so I've got it in your handout. I want you to look at it. Notice how we're going to get some insight into the character and the heart of God. It's in your handout. Look at it with me, Isaiah 30:18. It says, and therefore will the Lord, and what's the next word? Wait. Why is he going to wait to move? It says that he may be, number one, that he may be what? Okay, gracious. And then number two, therefore will he be what? Exalted. Because the Lord waits, it says he's going to be gracious to you. He'll be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed. And then notice, blessed are all they that wait for him. He waits, and he said, blessed are those that wait for him. Why does God make us wait? Why does our prayers seem unanswered, but really they've been delayed? Why is that? Why does God do that? Number one in your handout, it says that sometimes God will wait so that he can extend his grace. I want you to write that in. God will wait so that he can extend his grace. Now, like I said earlier, if we received every good gift the moment we asked for it, we would not see or appreciate God's grace and goodness. If a child gets everything they want right away, I mean, as soon as they ask for it, okay, and boom, you give it to them. They begin to think they deserve it. They begin to think they're entitled to it. But if they have to wait, maybe they got to wait till their birthday or they got to wait till Christmas, then they appreciate it more and they see it as a gift of grace. They didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. They just realize, you know what? This is a gift of grace. I remember as a kid, I wanted a dog. Now, I look at that today and I kind of laugh because we're at a stage in our life where we have no animals, no dogs, and it is a glorious time of our life. Man, we're loving it, aren't we, honey? We are so glad not to have any animals. You know, we can go out of town and not have to worry about it. Oh, we just love it. We love it. We love it. I mean, I see the squirrels running around. That's enough for me. Amen. And that's enough. We got grandkids. Amen. So we don't have any animals. But when I was a kid, I wanted a dog. And I asked my parents for a dog, and they said no. And I asked again, and they said no. And I asked again, and they said no. I was about 8 years old. And then, you know, the answer was no. Well, it seemed to me that my request was denied. And I'd about given up. And on my 9th birthday, you know what I got? A bike. I'm kidding. I got a dog. And you know what? I appreciated it so much because I had to wait. And God in his grace made them wait. But God in his grace gave them a really special son that brought such joy to their lives. What grace. I mean, they gave birth to the forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. God just poured out his grace by making them wait. But then there's a second reason why sometimes we have to wait. Number two, God will wait so that he can display his glory. Not just his grace, but his glory. Have you ever noticed when you read your Bible, many times God will wait until a situation looks humanly impossible before he works? Why? Because God will receive the greater glory. I mean, you think about the story of the three Hebrew children. Remember, everyone had to bow down to the idol that the king made. And if you did not bow down, then they were going to take you and they were going to go over here and they were going to throw you in the fiery furnace. It was a capital punishment not to bow down to the idol. The three Hebrew children said, no, we're not going to bow down. And they asked God to deliver them. And God waited. I mean, they actually had to come before the king. They actually had to be sentenced to death. They actually carried them all the way up the steps and all the way to the fiery furnace. Still nothing. They toss them in the fiery furnace. They're in there before God shows up and God answers their prayer and God delivers them in and through the fiery furnace. But don't you know that was a way for God to get the glory? Amen. Daniel is thrown in the lion's den because, again, same deal. And God actually let him be tossed in there. And because God waited and did not deliver him right away, the king looked down, saw Daniel, saw that he was okay the next morning, and realized, man, his God is the real one. And he proclaimed Daniel's God to be the God of the whole kingdom. God got the greater glory. Why? God waited. God waited. These people here were past the time of childbearing. So when they had John, everybody knew that this was God, had to be God. And it brought great glory to God. Look in your Bible. Look at verse number 14. Look at that, verse 14. What does the angel say about this thing? He says, you're going to have joy and gladness. And notice, not just them, many shall rejoice at his birth. Verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Notice the glory that God is going to get through this. You know what story I think of in the New Testament when I think about waiting? Lazarus. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. Lazarus is sick. He's about to die. Jesus hears about it. Jesus could have gotten there before he died. Jesus intentionally waits. He does not go to Lazarus. Lazarus dies. Jesus Christ finally shows up when everything seemed hopeless. He had been dead 4 days before Jesus showed up. Jesus Christ comes and raises Lazarus up from the dead, and many believed in Jesus. I mean, what a miracle. Jesus waited so that God could get the greater glory. And sometimes God takes the route that brings him the greatest glory, which means we have to wait. We have to wait. Sometimes when we get down on our knees and we pray, oh God, I got this request. Sometimes the answer may be denied. And then sometimes that request may, the answer may just be delayed. But then there's a third reason why our prayers seem unanswered. Number three, it's because the answer to our prayer may be different than anticipated. Zacharias and Elizabeth were praying for a son in their youth, but God gave them a son in their old age. God did not give them what they anticipated. He gave them something far better, far better. And God does that many times. He does. God knows our real needs because the Bible teaches that when we pray, that God's Spirit intercedes for us. He takes our prayer up to the Father. In fact, there's an insightful verse. I've got it in your handout. I want you to look at this, Romans 8:26. Look at that verse. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's so true. Many times we don't even know how to pray right. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you know what the Bible's saying? The Bible's saying that when you pray, that the Holy Spirit inside of you, if you're a Christian, takes your prayer, filters it, and then takes the perfect prayer up to the Father. That's exciting to me. Because the Bible says a lot of times we really don't, because we're human and we're weak, we don't really know what we should pray for all the time. You know, it's like, man, I don't know how to pray about this situation. Or sometimes we think we know how to pray when really we don't. And so the Holy Spirit, He stands in the gap. He makes up for that by taking our prayers, offering them up to the Father, filters through them before he takes them. For example, we may be on our knees and we're like, Lord, I really want this promotion at work. And God, I pray for this promotion because it's going to mean more money and it's going to mean greater position for me. And Lord, I really, really pray, God, give me this promotion at work. And by the time the Holy Spirit filters through that and takes it to the Father, Holy Spirit takes the prayer to the Father and says, Father, you know what? He really needs a dose of humility. You know, we thought we knew what we needed, but the Holy Spirit knows what we really need. And so by the time the Holy Spirit takes it to the Father, it's like, you know, he really needs a dose of humility is what he needs. So sometimes the answer to our prayers may be different than anticipated. I'll give you an example. The Apostle Paul is one of the greatest men in the Bible. Great healer. I mean, he healed people. But yet Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he went to God Satan gave it to him. And he went to God three times, and he's like, Lord, heal me. Three times he prayed. Finally, the answer came, but it was different than he anticipated. The answer wasn't, okay, Paul, I'm going to heal you. Thorn is gone. No, the answer was, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, Jesus said, is going to be made perfect through this. People are going to see me in you because of this. And you are going to bring incredible glory to God through this thorn in the flesh. So God answered his prayer, but it was different than he really anticipated. So you may be here this morning, you've gotten discouraged with prayer, and you thought, man, this prayer thing is a waste of time. And you know, God doesn't answer my prayers. Who wants you to believe that? Satan wants you to believe that. He's the one that wants you to believe that. But the reality is, God answers all prayer. I believe that. I believe that God answers all prayer from his children. I mean, if my kids come to me and make a request, I'm not just going to kind of turn my back and walk away. I'm going to at least give them the courtesy of an answer, right? I'm going to answer them. Maybe no. Maybe wait. It may be, you know, okay, yeah, but you know what? A little twist on this, a little different, or maybe yes. But I'm going to give them an answer. I believe God answers all prayer from his children. Sometimes the answer may be no, because God in his love knows it's not good for us. Sometimes the answer is like, hey, wait, you know what? That's a good request, my child. But you know what? You're not ready for that yet. So you got to wait. Sometimes the answer may be different than we expected. But God loves and God listens to all prayer. I want to give you a couple verses to encourage you. Look at the screen and notice that verse. Everybody say it with me. Pray without ceasing. You know what that means? It just means don't stop praying. Pray every day. Don't ever stop. Keep praying. And then look at the next verse. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we what? Faint not. Don't quit. In your handout, it says, those verses basically are saying, keep praying. Keep praying. It's the key to everything in the Christian life. Are y'all encouraged? Amen? You know, I hope that kind of helps you to see why so many times our prayers seem unanswered. I hope that's been a help to you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.